Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio. Very excited to welcome April Grossinger to the show for part one of an exclusive two-part series together. She's the founder of Career Rises, where she specializes in helping job seekers market themselves more effectively for their next ideal job. The people she works with are highly committed to their careers, upwardly mobile, and they want to work with, meaning. Work that's meaningful to them is very important. They often struggle with how to articulate their strengths, but by understanding the unspoken rules of job seeking, candidates can move past their vulnerabilities and into their effectiveness. April is the author as well of the forthcoming If You Want to Ace Interviews, Stop Answering Questions. According to April, the questions don't matter, only the answers matter. Once you know the answer, you can pretty much answer any question. And if you're just answering questions, you're not sharing strategic, intentional information. It's about having clarity on what you're bringing to your table. April helps her clients with everything from resume writing and search strategy to interviewing and negotiating salaries and other benefits. Her process really gets people from stuck thinking into empowered action. She's very passionate about seeing people rise to the next level and a level that they belong at, not allowing fear and intimidation to stop them. So she's really proud of being able to help her clients get to the next step in their careers. Not always about moving up, it's about really moving forward to a better life. She helps her clients get one foot moving in front of the other and get the ball rolling, and she's very good at it. Let's welcome her live and direct from Santa Clarita, California, which is just north of Los Angeles. April, welcome to the show. Good morning. It's terrific to have you here.
Thank you, Jim. It's delightful to be here. I'm very excited.
So am I.
Ready to talk about my passion.
Yes, which is what is fantastic and very relatable for the audience. And this is part one of a two-part series. So we have a lot of good stuff to sink our teeth into. First, I would like to know, what inspired you to go into this kind of work? What are some of the things that within your own life pointed you in the direction on your own life's journey to this work?
Actually, I think hearkening back to the 1960s, 1965 to be precise, I was the ripe old age of five, and my mother went back to work as an executive secretary, and she was an old-fashioned secretary. But she was very much appreciated by her boss. He recognized a lot of her intelligence and her insights. And had she been a male in the 60s, I have no question she would have been advanced and promoted to the executive ranks. But for the entire duration of her working life, which began when I was five and ended when I was 21, she was an executive assistant. She never got beyond that role. She always served coffee and answered phones, as well as helped her boss with strategy and led meetings and did all kinds of strategic planning. And I used to look at that from being very young. That bothered me. I used to think, why isn't she getting more attention? Why does she have to serve coffee? And it became a passion of mine. I went on when I finished my college education to work in human resources, thinking that's how I'm going to help people. And I realized I wasn't helping job seekers. I was helping the organization I worked for. And as great as they were, I really wanted to help people get to a better place. It's become a mission of mine to help people really take ownership over their strengths and move into what they really wanted to do. My mother spent her whole career feeling frustrated and miscast, and it's been a lifelong mission for me to help people get out of, break out of that. And that's how I got here.
Yes, I like that journey. That's a terrific journey. You know, talk about a forward movement. That certainly has been for you as well. And that's great because, it, again, it makes you very relatable to your clients. You have your own journey and transformation and transition and things that you've experienced, which then when, you know, your clients are expressing different things to you about their journey of life, you get it. And that's what's really great about the work that you're doing. Out of this came Career Rises. Tell us about your vision and your mission for Career Rises, what it is that you bring to the table, and the actual work that you do.
Absolutely. Thanks for asking, Jim. Most of the people that I work with, I think of as unsung heroes. They're great at what they do. They're committed to their work. They're talented. But they often feel very uncomfortable with what they call self-promotion and tooting their own horn. They don't like to talk about themselves. They don't like to advocate for themselves. They really hope and expect that other people will recognize their talent and reward it. And sometimes that happens and sometimes that doesn't. So I work with people who are either on their job and want to promote up or promote out. Sometimes moving, the best way to move up is to move out. And I help with all parts of the job search, writing resumes. I coach people to write their own, which I love to do because that's a lifelong skill. And once you understand, once somebody understands how to write a resume, they can, it never goes out of fashion. Yeah, trends change and things go in vogue and out of vogue. But once you really know how to articulate for yourself and write for yourself, I love seeing clients gain that skill. But if they can't or they don't want to, I write their resume. We really go through their magic, what makes them effective and special at their work. Because if you don't know why somebody should hire you, chances are nobody else is going to know either. So it's not so much about tooting your own horn, but really reframing that process to help people see that job interviews and the search process are business meetings and business processes. They're not so much about you, the job seeker. They're about what you bring to the table and having that clarity and ease to talk about those strengths and to talk about those contributions, not as bragging, but as facts about how you could be helpful. And so we've reframed the job search process. And then I help clients anticipate what's going to happen, what employers are looking for, so that they're relevant when they're speaking to potential employers and in interviews. And then I help them negotiate offers and get the best deal possible. And I often will stay with the client once they're hired to make sure they're making a great transition and really showing their best foot, putting their best foot forward. And that's what Career Rises is all about.
That's fantastic. That's great work. You know, the process can be so frightening and anxiety-provoking and often vague and time-consuming for people. And you can really see why people stay in jobs longer than they should. I think we've all done that from time to time. It's that sheer confusion and discomfort of what making change for yourself might actually look like, right? Fear of the unknown, not taking the chances. And then you look back and say, oh, I should have left earlier. I should have moved on. I should have done, you know, this, that, and the other thing a little bit earlier. That can be very anxiety-provoking for many.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of people feel like they're a deer in a headlight, and they're facing the inquisition instead of the interview, that writing a resume just feels completely overwhelming, and they don't know where to focus or start. And so one of the things that's really important is to reframe that whole process. Because if someone's entering that process in their fear, they're not going to do as well as if they're looking at it as a business proposition and thinking very objectively and very factually, what is it about this role that's important? What do people need? And how have I risen to that occasion? When people start looking at the process as a business process and not a personal vulnerability, risk-taking, oh my gosh, my entire, my income's on the line, my identity's on the line, my family's going to starve, I'm never going to get hired. So all those vulnerabilities, when we remove those and start looking at the logical steps about what makes you effective in your role, what the employer needs, the shift happens because people feel very relaxed and confident once they're focused on the job and the role that they know. My clients know what they're doing when it comes to their work. So it's reframing, oh my gosh, I feel vulnerable and scared to, I know how to do my job and I know how to be effective. When you're leaning into that mindset, wonderful things happen. The confidence gets better, anxiety goes down, and so that's really the beginning of a good search.
Mindset is a big part of this, right? A positive mindset.
110%. Yes, and it's not just the fake positivity of, you know, I'm going to go out there and slay a dragon today, but really the mindset of knowing, I know what I'm doing. I bring skill and integrity to this role, and that I can make a difference in an organization, and that I am an asset. That's not being arrogant. I mean, a lot of my clients worry that they'll sound arrogant and obnoxious and full of themselves. But again, if you can't bring that clarity about what you bring to a role, nobody else is going to understand that. And that's what employers are looking for.
Right, exactly, which is very important to remember through all of this. Are most of your clients generally proactive? You know, they have a job, they want to move up, get a better one, or are you working with people who just really need a new job and soon, or I would imagine you're probably working with all of the above.
All of the above. I work with pretty much everybody from people who are employed and want to stay with their company but move up, to people who have either been laid off or fired. And by the way, I love working with people who've had a glitch in their career, had a reputational crisis, have been let go, because that may have been a rough patch in someone's career, but it doesn't have to be career ending. And so I work with all the above. The one thing I will say is I don't tend to work with people who are desperate to find a paycheck. Because I really work with people who are passionate about their work and want to return to a job that they really love. So some of my clients will work on getting them consulting gigs or temporary projects. I've had some clients drive for Uber or Lyft, but they're committed to the process of their next career step. That's really important. Absolutely, and not to lose sight of the goal. You know, I have an expression, don't look down. You know, when you're walking on a tightrope, it's really scary. And if you look down, you're going to fall, you know.
Yes.
So it's very important when you feel like you're on that tightrope not to look down. You look forward at your goal. And if you're focused on your goal, you're going to be far more apt to achieve it.
It's funny, I use a similar analogy sometimes when we're in cities and we're walking in a city and everybody's looking down at the sidewalk when they're walking, and I'm usually always saying, look up, because when you look up, you can see the beautiful skyline, and, you know, you can see everything that's going on, and that's beautiful, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. To take that analogy into job search, when you're looking up, you're seeing opportunities and possibilities. When you're looking down, you're looking at fear and anxiety. And the fear and anxiety is always there. I mean, nobody's handing out guarantees anywhere. But what I've watched people do is really go into a downward spiral when they're looking down and feeding their fear. I mean, whatever we feed is what's going to grow and expand. I had a lovely client who was in marketing, and he got laid off when his employer shifted to more of sales. The job went from marketing to sales, and he was not a salesman. He was a brilliant marketer. He used to bring alliances together and creative projects, and when that was no longer the role, he ended up getting laid off, and he was so devastated by that. Instead of looking at his genius, and he was genius, he knew how to bring people together, get them excited about ideas, and get things percolated. Instead of looking up at that strength, he looked down at what he wasn't achieving as a salesperson. Yep. And it really hurt him. It was a lot of work to turn things around.
Oh, I would imagine. So, absolutely. Yeah, that's amazing. You know, when you think about that, that's really incredible. It's just sometimes, you know, you really don't know what is happening until it actually happens, which is, you know, and then you got to deal with it. So an ounce of prevention goes a long way, right?
Absolutely. But, you know, it is discipline. It is a practice to keep yourself looking up and stay focused on where you're headed. There is something very tempting about panic. I don't know why panic is so seductive for us, but as human beings, but that can overtake us sometimes, and it's not helpful.
That's right.
Look up.
Yes. Well, you know, one of the things, too, that's really interesting is, which ties into that previous question of, are most of your clients being proactive? They have a job. They want to get a better one. Working with people who really need a new job and soon, things of that nature. That ties into this, that makes this so topical, is the great resignation that's been happening and how a lot of people are, as a result of reassessment of their lives and what they want to do and the pandemic and all, which is something none of us could have predicted, they are deciding to change careers. They're deciding that they want to do other things. How is that working into the work that you do and guiding those people who are like, gee, you know, I've been punching a clock for years, or I feel like I haven't been respected, or I'm just a clog in the wheel, and though I'm making good money or whatever it may be, there's something within that isn't being fulfilled. I'm sacrificing family time and just life itself. There's a lot of that happening. How does that factor into the work that you're doing, and how have you been working with your clients to guide them through some of that that is fresh, topical, and new in all our lives?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jim, because this is an unprecedented time, and it's one in which we don't know when it's going to end. Like 9/11 brought that out for a lot of people. It made people question their careers and caused the same kind of job walk-off, but it was a one-time event, and then sort of those emotions faded over time. This has been ongoing for 2 years now, and we really don't know where the end is. But it's really changed the workplace very dramatically, and it's had incredible implications for job seekers and people who are looking up, because there's a lot of new opportunities here. For the first time ever, people are being able to work more flexibly, work from home, which means they have time to spend with their family or explore other passions and do other things. And employers are facing deficits in finding qualified people, although that's a whole nother conversation about the job market and the perception of talent. But what I want to say here is this is a great time to be looking for new work, better work, because there's a lot of opportunity. And there's a lot of uncertainty. And if you're able to deal with the ambiguity, if you're unable to deal with the uncertainty of what's going to happen and take advantage of the fact that there's a lot of flexibility, for the first time ever, employers are having to come out of their rigid thinking and out of their rules and guidelines and adapt to the moment. This is a great time to make proposals and offers and to be very assertive in somebody's search. And even within your own job, if you're still working, you might renegotiate terms. And if you want to make a change, this is a golden opportunity. And again, we don't know how long it's going to last. So I would say to anybody out there who's thinking about it, stop thinking and let's start moving. Take some action, because this is a time when everything is up for grabs and things are more negotiable than they've ever been. So it's a great time, even though it's a scary, strange time that leaves some of us a little disoriented. Yeah.
You've even penned a book that is forthcoming and due out later this year, which I think really helps with a lot of this as well and ties beautifully into the work that you're doing. Tell us a little bit about the forthcoming book. If you want to ace interviews, stop answering questions. Now, when people hear that headline, that title, at first they're like, oh, but I've always been trained to just answer questions and just answer them neatly however they're asked and don't go any further and don't elaborate and don't be inquisitive on my end. Just answer those questions and get through that interview process. But in the end, that can be, I guess, sort of detrimental in a way, right? Tell us about this and the book. Sounds exciting.
Oh, absolutely. This has been a lifelong passion of mine, and I've wanted to write this book for at least 2 decades. Because you just said it. People want to survive the interview. They just want to get through it, and that's a terrible mindset to go into an interview with. Every question, regardless of the question, and questions don't matter, and I'll tell you why in a moment, every question is a golden opportunity to provide great information. And rather than just getting through the question or just answering the question, what job seekers really want to do is understand what it is that they should share during an interview. What's important to them to convey about their experience, about their knowledge, about their fascinations and what they want to bring to the table, what they have brought in terms of success. Those are the answers. Once you're clear about the answers, it doesn't matter what's asked. You can answer. So you really want to focus deeply on what is it that I should share. A lot of interview questions are not well constructed. They're not clear. They may be vague and ambiguous. And so if you're following and chasing questions, you could chase yourself into a dead end that isn't really giving great information. And by the way, I really balk at the term you have to sell yourself because you're not for sale. Nobody is for sale. People are for hire, and there's a difference. Hiring is about what you offer, honoring yourself and your skill sets and making that available to an employer. And so understanding what those skill sets are and how you can make a difference is what interviews are all about. Forget the questions and really lean into what you were saying, Jim. What is the substantive information that you can use any question to offer? Don't just sit there and give a pat answer there. I answered the question. I did it. I'll have a lot of clients tell me, I'll say, how did the interview go? They said, well, I was able to answer all the questions, and that tells me the interview did not go well. If you're just answering questions, you're not communicating necessarily value. People know when they're really talking about things of substance. People understand when they're speaking value, and that's so important. And so it's at the end of the day, what you always want to do is go into that interview ready to share your gold. Share what is great about you. It's not about bragging. It's really about informing and aligning your own passion and thought leadership and like-mindedness with somebody else who should be caring about what you do because they're involved in the same industry and field. And so great interviews are really like great discussions where you're excited and talking about substance of work. That's how you ace interviews. You're not answering questions. You're really delivering passionate, great, informative information. And I could give you some examples.
That would be great. We love examples on Close Up Radio because that allows the audience to really tie in to what we're talking about and probably even maybe feel connected with essences of themselves and this relatability to what you're going to share with us. So, yeah, we love the case studies.
Absolutely. I had a client, and she's really representative of many clients that I've had. She was renegotiating a vendor contract because they loved the vendor, but the price was too high, and they needed to bring down the cost. And so she worked for a big corporation, and legal department was involved, and fulfillment was involved, and contracts were involved. A bunch of team people were involved. And when we were prepping for her interview, she kept saying, we. And I said, who is we? And she mentioned all the people that she was consulting with and working with. I said, well, first of all, we aren't on an interview. You are going on the interview. What did you do? And she said, well, you know, we put together the negotiation. I said, who came up with the idea of the terms? She said, oh, I came up with the terms. Okay. Who was on the call? We were all on the call. Who talked? Who spoke? I spoke. So you came up with the terms. You spoke. Did anybody else speak on the call from your company? No, just me. Did the vendor accept the terms? Yes, the vendor accepted the terms. I said, who negotiated the contract? And she looked at me with this incredible discovery and said, I did. She didn't realize she had done it. She did it with the support of the team. So the way that you turn that into a great interview conversation is you give, one of the things that's a great strategy on an interview is to recognize other people and to share that she had the support and wisdom of a wonderful team, cross-functional team that provided a great strategy so that she developed some terms. They looked them over and gave them the green light to go forward. They were on there in case she needed that, them for some backup support, but she presented the vendor with the terms and the vendor excitedly and happily agreed to them. And so this is an example where it's so important to unpack your own success and see what it is that you are bringing, even when you think it's your team that's bringing it. It was a golden opportunity for her to show her ability to work cross-functionally but deliver the goods on her own. And another client who was going to interview for a job where that was actually a step back in his career. He was really articulate and great. He didn't need interview coaching except for one critical question, and this is so important. Never go into an interview hoping you won't be asked a specific type of question. And in his case, it was, why would you accept a lower job? And he didn't think that he needed to spend so much time on that. He wasn't anticipating that as a big area to talk about. But it was the entire interview, and I told him, I warned him, I could see this coming. This was going to be the focus of the interview. So we really strategized on why he, who had been an executive director, is now going to be a legislative aide sitting out in the hallway while the banquet was going on, and he used to be a keynote speaker. And we really prepped him for that question. He called me back a week later, thank you. That was all they asked. They didn't ask me anything else. So the point is really leaning into what is the key message here, what is going to be relevant to the interviewer, and what is it that you really need to share to show you know your chops. And understanding that before you get in the interview is key to acing interviews. I hope that gives a little clarity.
It does. It does. In a very eloquent and you know, easy to relate to way, which I think is fantastic, and that's part of your approach as well, because this can be daunting for people, you know, and confusing and like a blur, especially if there's been swift change in their job status, in their career, what have you. Congratulations again on the forthcoming book. If you want to ace interviews, stop answering questions. We'll definitely keep an eye out for that. And again, you're going to be back for part two next week, which is fantastic, and then can expand a little bit more on the actual process, you know, how you begin helping people improving their interview skills and things of that nature as well, which I think is terrific. What is one quick way that you do begin? Do you do an assessment initially?
Yes. When people are, first of all, a good length to answer an interview question is about 2 minutes. If you're too brief, it feels like you're not sharing who you are. You want the interview to get interviewer to get a feel of you. And so you need to provide some substance and talk for a while. But more than 2 minutes might feel like you're hijacking the interview. And that's a guideline. It's not a hard rule. But one of the things that you, if you're not thinking about this ahead of time, you may spend way too much time setting up a scenario, because a common interview question is, tell me about a time when. And a lot of times job seekers will spend a lot of time talking about the situation when what's important about their answer is what they did. So it's really exactly. about what you did, what your actions are. That's the focal point. And I can't wait to continue this conversation, Jim.
Absolutely. The website is careerrises.com. That's www.careerrises.com to connect with a very special guest, April Grossinger. Thank you for joining us, April. This was a fantastic conversation. I mean, obviously, you've been doing this for more than 30 years, and you've helped job seekers succeed by reframing the interview process. I want to let the audience know this episode has been recorded in its entirety, so you can hear it again in full. And April will be back next week to continue with part two here on Close Up Radio. Thanks so much for joining us and all the amazing work that you're doing, April. It's a pleasure chatting with you. Looking forward to chatting more.
Thank you for having me. Thanks so much.
You are very, very... Oh, absolutely. You have a terrific day. And you as well, everybody. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, right here on Close Up Radio for all of us. Stay tuned. We'll be back momentarily with another amazing guest right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, have a terrific day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.